I'm so happy to be here. How are you on this wonderful day? You know, coming here to Montclair is like coming home because so many of my friends and family have been here. And even I was here and attended here for several years with my partner and our children and so on. So I feel like coming home. And Kim, her words here, you would think that the two of us planned this, the way we did this, but it is quite amazing. So, will you pray with me, please? Wonderful, loving God, we love your word and we love the insights that you give us and fill us with. So, for this time, give us some hope, give us some moments of insight that we might hear and feel you within us. Thank you for being with us. Amen. Well, as I was thinking about you, I was thinking, when is the last time I even thought about Sophia? And Proverbs, for this text, for any of you who are old like me with white hair, you might have remembered the Reimagining Conference in which the women named God and the church went wild. It was an amazing time. It was an electric time. And for communion, we had, rather than the wine and the grape juice and the bread, we had milk and honey. And we sat in round tables. And we were so alive. And the men and women gathered said, "This is extraordinary." And the church said, "Naughty." The church became cranky because when women or people who are oppressed name God as part of them, something happens. People get alive. So who is this Sophia? Because as we look at Sophia, I want to name you some of the things because it's so wonderful. Thank you, Bonnie, for reading this. It says this: she was the spotless mirror of the working of God and the image of God's goodness. How's that? She was before all things, present before creation. She served as God's agent through whom everything and heaven and earth are made. She is the one who reconciles people to God. She was the divine essence in the Roman and Greek thought. So, who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? They believe in doing all this research and who she was who cried out in the streets. It said simple ones, but it was really simple fools. Wake up, because the world is upside down. Then Jesus was the prophet of Sophia, who calls us to justice and truth. Jesus, they said, was the Sophia of God. Jesus was the wisdom of God. So we look at these texts, and look what he says. So you are like people who, when you hear music, you do not dance, and when you mourn, you do not weep. This is about feelings. This is about feelings. Jesus says you must feel the very depth. How can you not be embodied with music? Do you love when you dance? Do you remember dancing? Yes? You are fully embodied. You are in the center of who you are. And then when you mourn, do you not weep? Then he says, look what happens. John comes, which is really the Elijah of our time, and you call him a demon. He's the one who is calling out violence. Rome, the most violent place, like now. And he says, if you do not feel the very depths of who you are, then you are not awake. And times like this, when oppressive and domination systems seem to rule, it's time to be awake and to be conscious. And this is what Jesus did. He said, be conscious And of course, the first thing that a domination system does, you see, they said they call me a drunkard because I eat with tax collectors and sinners. He says this, every prophetic one that goes against the domination system, everyone that does, they will either shame, discredit, blame, maim, or kill. That's what happens. So he's calling them to awake. And who are the first people that listen? Are the marginalized and the poor. Because they know. They know a domination system. You know what a domination system does? It likes to lull us to sleep. Empire wins when we go to sleep. It's this, I'll take care of you. Don't you worry, we've got the answers. Are you hearing this? It's like the world was upside down. Is it upside down to you? I think right now things are very upside down. Right now we're talking about patriarchy coming back. Look how women are being treated. People of color, the marginalized, are being set aside. Look at the climate. Look what's happening. Okay, so lest we lose hope, right? Look what Jesus did. He said this. And this is why people were so upset with him, right? He was radical in his time. He said this, don't you think that women are equals? And he was teaching women, and he was teaching them that they had brains and that they were not just the receptacle of children. Do you hear me? This is what he's fighting against. So he's teaching these women. It's incredible. So he says, as Elizabeth Schuster for your answer says, the discipleship of equals. He said, women are equal to men. Blasphemy. Even now, as we look across the world. Even now. Then he says, look who's in prison and look who is incarcerated. It is only those people who cannot pay their way out. Then he says, let's look at the disparity between the rich and the poor. Do you know that was what he concentrated on the most. Economic injustice were his things. 362 verses on economic justice, and we're worried about 8 on sexuality. Do you hear me? Do you see this upside down thing? So he says this, 95% in his time, 95% of the people are working for 5% of the world. In his time, he would say now, 99% are working for 1%. This is this disparity between the rich and the poor. So he's yelling, and when they couldn't hear him, he threw the tables over. Because he says, oh, please be awake. Please be conscious. See what's happening here. It's a domination system that has this power over of white over black, of male over female, right? When in fact, everything's connected to everything else. So let's bring it to now. Rose Wu, who is from the Episcopal Divinity School, she now teaches in Hong Kong at the Christian Institute. Listen to what she says. She calls God the connection of relationality. The connection of relationality. And she said, God is that one in which we must hear one another's stories, and we must hear the stories of the marginalized and the poor. Thus, we connect. Doing theology is to be in touch with the blood, the soul of our friends who are labeled different than us. She works for social justice, for the poor and sexual minorities. And she said, these are the people we should be doing theology with. A domination system is much more interested in the perpetrators of violence than the victims of violence. I want to say that again. A domination system is much interested in the perpetrators of violence than the victims of violence. Look what's happening around the world. Very easy to see this. This is what Rose Wu says. Look and listen. Theology should be about the narratives of those who are marginalized. Then we're doing the work, the Christian work. There is a thing called the Latina hermeneutic spiral. Can you say that? The Latina hermeneutic spiral. It is absolutely incredible, isn't it? In which we put the oppressed first in the center. Then we take and we say, what is personal is political. We look at that combination. Then we say, what are other oppressive cultures that we might learn from? Then we go and we affirm those who have been oppressed. And then we do strategy and action. It's called the Latina women's hermeneutic. It's something Jesus taught us. So what do we do? Give us some examples. Well, I think since this is Pride time in Oakland, how about the AIDS quilt? Do any of you remember the AIDS quilt in which we were in Washington, D.C., and all the stories of all the people and all the blankets all down the center by the White House? It was the stories of so many of our people, and it changed government policy. Why? Because the people were finally heard who were most affected. In British Columbia last year, do you know that hundreds of Indigenous women in British Columbia are either killed or disappear? Hundreds. True. 350 families met by Parliament, and this is what they did. They told the stories of their mothers and their grandmothers and their daughters who had disappeared. And they did this, and they had fabric, and they embroidered that fabric because they knew and they heard about a quilt from before. And they knew, and as they saw, they wept and they laughed and they told the stories of their family. With that, as they did that, they listened in to one another and they hung this quilt right in the middle of Parliament that said, maybe someone will see the violence that is being done and action will be done. This church, very supportive of the Shower of Stoles. Pat remembers this very well. This congregation, do you remember? This is what happens. For those of us that are LGBTQ, whatever we are, you see? After a while, they begin to hear our stories over and over again. And Martha Jewelerit in my backyard in San Rafael said, Janie, what we have to do is we have to do it a different way in which people can hear our stories because I don't think they can hear us anymore. And so she made stoles, which told the stories of people that couldn't serve. And there were signature stoles, and you all came forward and you signed that signature stole so that you could remember and celebrate the LGBT people that you know and love. Do you remember this? And that was a huge way in which people changed their minds, and the Presbyterian Church voted differently. And right now, the Presbyterian Church is joining other churches to study Native Americans and the genocide that the church was complicit with the papal edicts that not only took away the land from Native people, but tried to convert them and enslave them. It is our story of genocide. It's called the Doctrine of Discovery. The Presbyterian Church and other denominations are trying now to do reconciliation with Native Americans. And you say, how is this all related? Because everything is connected to everything else. And what happens to Native people happens to gay people, happens to people in Syria, happens to people in Palestine. And when the Belhar Confession of the Presbyterian Church was finally passed from South Africa, you know this, of course, tell me you do. The Belhar Confession from South Africa, who finally, it is the first confession that was not European bound. The first one. And do you know what Alan Bosack said? Alan Bosack, who was the author of that, said this: when we waited at General Assembly to see whether this would pass, do you know that thousands of South Africans were up all night just waiting for us to say yes? We, the colonizers. Incredible, incredible things are being done. And this is what Alan Bosack said. He said, if you make this connection with the Belhar Confession that was done in South Africa, surely when I read this, he said, it is about the Palestinians for sure as anything. Making the connections. Can I give you two more stories quickly? I'm seeing if you're awake. Hello. Okay. Two more. Jim Rigby is a fabulous pastor in Austin, Texas. And he said one of the things is he was called by Austin Rape Crisis Center. He was called because they knew he was such a good guy. And they said, we want these women to be able to tell their stories, Jim, to someone they can trust. And so he said his first thing was, as he listened to the stories of these women, he said his first thing was empathy, sympathy, every kind of thing. He just went, oh my God. And then he said this. After a while, I began to think, how does this culture advertise women? And he began to do workshops on how women are advertised. And then he said, I said to myself, as a heterosexual white male, he said, how am I complicit with this? And so he began to meet with perpetrators and began to talk about how this domination system of property still exists and how they could change. How they could change. You see, reconciliation is wonderful, but there's got to be repair. Reconciliation without repair doesn't work very well. Okay? The last one is this. I don't know if Beth would have told you this or maybe Katie, but these are my friends, and so it's such an important thing, especially around transgender. Remember now, that's the thing now. You say, oh dear God, it was the lesbian, gays, and bis, and by God, now they're talking about transgender. Right? But gender, you see, it's really about misogyny and the hatred of women. That's what I want us to get here. This is what this is really about, transgender. And when anyone tells you that it's a bathroom issue, I hope you go wild. It is an identity issue. It is about people's brains and identity and what we're learning about neurons and all these things that are happening in our bodies. So watch this. So I had a dear friend who, this is a true story, he said to me in Philadelphia, he said, Janie, I've just got to tell you this story. And I said, what? And he said, you know, I was a truck driver before I became a minister. This is a true story. I was a truck driver. And he said, one of the things is, of course, as a gay man, I was very afraid because I had my own prejudices about truck drivers, and surely they would never accept me for who I am as a gay man. So he said, I was very understated, very in the closet, driving my truck. And he said, this one night, I was in Philadelphia, and he said, I left this place, and I thought, well, my truck is closer over there, so I'm going to go in the back alley. And he went into the back alley, and he was pounced on by three people and who were beating him to death and calling him a fag, every other thing. And he said, all of a sudden I heard this, tick, 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 tick. And whoever this was throwing these people off me. And he said, I was laying on the ground, could hardly see, and I looked up, and there was a 6'5" woman in a gold lamé dress, high heels this high, the tick, tick, tick. And he said, in my honest to God delirium, I said, who are you? And she leaned down and she picked me up and she said, hi, honey, my name is Amazing Grace. Feelings, be in touch with our feelings. It's awake. This congregation is awake. That's why I like to come and see you so much, because I am counting on your consciousness about the climate and about what's going on in Palestine and about what's going on with women and with transgender people and so many other things. Keep awake, my friends. We are Christians and we have been called by Sophia and Jesus to be alive.